Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose.
You're the Cleveland Browns. You've got the number one overall pick in tonight's draft, and you're on the clock. Who are you taking? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
We just had the story. We just had Adam Schefter live moments ago telling us that the Cleveland Browns are very much discussing whether or not Baker Mayfield could be the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, God! Oh, I did not see that coming!
Welcome in, 4:05, a Thursday edition of the program. Todd and Alex with you for the next 2 hours. That's right, we're going to skate at 6 o'clock tonight so that you can take in ESPN's coverage of the first round of the National Football League draft from Dallas tonight. First time the draft has ever been held in an NFL stadium. ESPN will have it for you, wall-to-wall coverage. We got a great show for you today, even though it is an abbreviated one. Our pal from St. Louis, Howard Balzer, the longtime NFL draft expert, set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll squeeze Woods in as well before 6 o'clock. Plus, we've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to hook somebody up with that right here in hour number one today. Lots to get to. Cubs and Brewers starting a series at Wrigley Field tonight. No Chris Bryant. He remains out of the lineup. Twins and Yankees finish up their series in the Bronx. Gary Sanchez walks it off for New York, so plenty of baseball to get to. NBA Finals continuing on. LeBron James reminding everybody that he is the king. And you also have the Stanley Cup playoffs rolling along as well. So lots to get to in the world of sports. We've got a poll question for you today at KGYMRadio.com. Regarding the four quarterbacks, which one would you take with the first pick? If you were building your franchise, who's your franchise quarterback in this draft? 319-366-1600. And the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Look, Baker Mayfield has been out there. It's been discussed. Nobody was really talking about him going number one overall until today. And that's why I look back on, you know, we pulled the poll question the other day, is the NFL draft the most overanalyzed sporting event of the year? And most people said yes, and this is why. And look at people wasted months speculating that Sam Darnold was going to be the number one pick or Josh Allen was going to. Very few people up until this morning were talking about Baker Mayfield going number one to Cleveland, and now all of a sudden it looks like Baker Mayfield may be in line to be the number one overall pick.
I can't remember going into a draft with more uncertainty as to who the number one pick overall is going to be. I am of the belief that it's hard for me to trust anything when it comes to this information because I know what the Cleveland Browns are doing by creating all this confusion. They're trying to get people to trade up. They're trying to get people to trade up for their number four pick. They're trying to get people to trade up for their number one pick. And I'll believe it when I see it. I have no idea which direction the Browns are going. They could go Saquon Barkley. Now, I doubt it, but anything is at play right now because John Dorsey is playing us all like a fiddle.
And what's interesting here is, if you believe that the other teams have followed along with the logic up until right now, perhaps they are scrambling, trying to adjust to the fact that Baker Mayfield could be the number one overall pick. Now, Baker Mayfield's not the most interesting quarterback being discussed today because, again, lo and behold, at the 11th hour, right before he's set to hear his name called in Dallas tonight, suddenly some old tweets have surfaced from Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen that now has people and teams calling into question his character.
It's not going to make any
difference.
On
the morning of the draft,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Did no one else think to A, I've always found that a little bit sketchy and semi-repulsive, digging through people's social media from years and years ago, just looking for any sort of kernel, any nugget that you can use against them.
Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova was a recent victim of the, or not victim, but a recent person who people went back and looked through his tweets. It happens
so
quite a bit.
So a dumb high school kid is saying dumb things that kids in high school often do, and that dumb kid happens to years later become a first-round NFL talent, and he forgets, and his camp forgets, because these guys should all have people.
They do.
They should have a social media manager or a publicist, and any person in that position worth their salt. The first thing that they should do, the first question that they should have, right, is, hey, you think there's anything out there that I need to know about on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? What social media accounts do you have? You pay me a lot of money, or you're going to pay me a lot of money. Let me get to work here for you very early on. We're going to scrub clean.
Yeah, what are these agents doing? I'm serious.
Collecting a paycheck, sitting back and waiting for the millions to roll in. They're going to get their cut.
So
I'm an idiot. I'm sitting behind a microphone in Eastern Iowa, and I'm smart enough to realize that if I'm in that position, one of the first things I'm doing is, oh, God, what have I said or written in the past?
Hire me. I can do that. I can go here and hit a delete button on,
if you told
on
me,
Twitter.
If you told me tomorrow that I was going to walk in and be handed basically a winning lottery ticket that was going to set me up for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And all I needed to do between now and tomorrow was make sure that nothing came to light that could possibly derail that. Do you know the first thing that I'm doing? I'm deleting every possible social media outlet, deactivating them. I'm going into the back room here, and I'm looking on the servers here in the building, and I am nuking any, I don't care whether it's a rejoin liner, that, by the way, I'm glad you folks are fans of, because they are a pain to create. Trying to come up with a Brockmire one as a tip of the cap to last night's season 2 debut. These guys have to be smarter than that, but they're not. So now, again, we get to, I guess, debate whether or not these things should be held against him. And it's a gray area. There's a certain bit of murkiness there. But at the same time, let ye who be without sin cast the first stone. Who hasn't said or done something stupid in the past? I think most of us, especially at that age. Now, if Josh Allen's hopping on Twitter Saturday night,
exactly,
and saying really racist or inflammatory things, then you got more red flags than the average NASCAR race. But years and years ago, now that doesn't necessarily offer anybody a free pass in my book. But again, you got to be kidding me with this. And not just for the people who unearthed the tweets, because again, they're sitting on this. They're waiting until they can get maximum exposure. And what better way to do that than to do it on the morning of the draft? But also, Josh Allen deserves a little bit of the brunt for the blame here as well, not only for tweeting what he did, but also for not having the foresight to go back and scrub the record. I'm not endorsing that, by the way. It's just, to me, common sense. I'm going to make you an instant millionaire tomorrow. The only caveat, here's, it's Brewster's Millions. You remember the film? Many of you have probably seen it. Richard Pryor, he has the opportunity to take a guaranteed inheritance, or if he spends the entire inheritance in 30 days and has no money left at the end, then he gets it back tenfold or whatever it was. I mean, if I give you the opportunity, I'm going to set you up for life. And I tell you that the only caveat in Brewster's Millions, it was that every penny needed to be spent and he couldn't tell anybody, which made for some interesting moments plot-wise in that movie. I'm telling you, the only catch is, in the next 24 hours, I can't find anything in your past on social media or anything publicly that could draw negative attention to you, put you in a bad light. And as long as you can keep that hidden from the public and keep it hidden from me, you're an instant multimillionaire. You're set for life. You're telling me that the first thing you wouldn't do is go and scrub those accounts?
Now, Todd, there's a twist to this whole story.
Ooh, I like a Law and Order twist.
So apparently Josh Allen did go back and delete these tweets. However, there is a theory out there that Adam Schefter, the real Adam Schefter,
I like
is
to
floating.
Call him Schefty.
According to a theory two people in the past hour have floated, another team plotted to have Josh Allen's racially insensitive tweets
the
put out.
The Law and Order twist, folks.
Just before the draft in order to increase their chances he would fall to that team in the draft. I would 100% believe this.
So let me play devil's advocate here, because while that seems to be a wise move or a calculated move on the part of said team, do you really want to create animosity with a portion of your fan base by doing that?
It's leaked, though. No one would ever know. It's like when Calvin Johnson was coming out in the draft, and some idiot scout from some team who was trying to get him to fall in the draft to him leaked to the media that he admitted in a private meeting that he had used marijuana before, thinking that that would have some kind of effect on his draft stock. I would believe this, and I actually believe that this did happen, that this was a team's doing.
I can't agree more with Tone on the Hurteen and Stocker Jewelers text line. He says it's a great negative example as a parent to teach your kids. Kids, if you're driving in the car right now with mom and dad or your guardian, I don't judge, whatever your situation is, don't put anything on social media today that you wouldn't want surfacing 10, 15 years from now when you're going to a job interview. And I can't believe people do this, but I've talked to a number of people who are in a position where they hire people to work for their businesses. One of the first things that they do is look for somebody on Facebook, look for somebody on Twitter, and you get a good feel for, can we have honesty hour here? I'm going to borrow from my former co-host because I'm talking about me and my former co-host. When we hired Alex several years ago to be the new producer on the APC, do you know what the first thing we did? We had several candidates. The first thing we did was try to find them on Twitter and Facebook. Okay, let's see what we can discern about this kid and this guy and go from there. It sort of gives you an idea going in whether or not you think you've got a good candidate on your hands. Don't be stupid. And at the same time, there is a little bit of espionage and intrigue here because this is going to cause Josh Allen to fall down the draft board most likely. And is he going to wind up with the team that allegedly leaked this? Who knows?
Well,
but they're it just
I agree 100%. Don't
can
put,
he throw a damn football?
That's exactly right.
And character issue. Baker Mayfield has character issues. They're trying to make Baker Mayfield out to be Johnny Manziel. I don't think anybody's that dumb.
See,
a friend of mine lives in Oklahoma and has had interactions with Baker Mayfield and has watched him play catch with kids and sign autographs. And she says he's one of the nicest guys in the world, humble, down to earth. You wouldn't even think. And then all of a sudden you see these other reports, he's got character issues. Why? Because he planted a flag at the 50-yard line because he's confident and
because he grabbed his junk after Kansas cheap shotted him four times and yelled at the sideline. That I agree with you on Baker Mayfield and the excuses that these teams come up with for a player dropping in the draft are absolutely hilarious. Josh Rosen, he's too smart. and he's a rich kid who doesn't need football. Baker Mayfield, he's got character issues. Yes, he did. He did get a public intoxication arrest one time, and he grabbed his junk at the and yelled at the Kansas sideline. But that counts as character issues.
When I call there that a Wednesday around here.
when there are, let's just say, real character issue players getting drafted all the time. And then Josh Allen, you're going to tell me that with all of these guys that are allowed to play in this league over and get second and third and fourth and fifth chances, that he's going to fall in the draft because of something that he tweeted when he was 13 years old? That's why he's going to fall. It's not his 57% completion percentage. It's not the fact that his ball is not catchable. It's not the fact that there's concerns about him being a project at quarterback. It's because of his tweets from nearly a decade ago. It's logical.
8650, I see your question, and I'm not going to bring it up here because that would get me in trouble and it would open a completely different can of worms. But it does seem to be strange that we're asking people for accountability for the things that they say and do. And there seem to be a couple very notable exceptions to the rule. And I'm not talking about the NFL draft, but I'm not broaching that subject right now. But thank God that social media wasn't around when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Although I would like to think that I would have had the foresight again to go back and, you know, and I've always said this. Probably 12 years ago, I said I would never do that. You could not pay me enough to do this job, sports talk radio. I loathed it. So if I were coming in the door 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, whatever the timeline was, do you think the first thing that I would do is make sure that had I put that out on Twitter, I would go back and I would make sure that there was no reference to that, to those feelings? The first thing I would think of doing. And then when it comes up in the interview, you go, oh yeah, go ahead. Here, it's at Todd Brommelkamp. Give me a follow while you're there, and yes, go ahead and pour through, see what you can come up with. I didn't say anything bad about sports talk radio. And yes, if he deleted it but somebody took a screenshot ahead of time, well, then again, that's still his issue. Delete it back when you are unheard of, when you're a freshman or a sophomore. Maybe delete it when you're a junior, when you're starting to get the draft buzz. Don't wait to delete it until people are already talking. They were talking about Josh Allen being the number one overall pick in the draft last September when he was in Kinnick Stadium, when the Hawkeyes beat Wyoming. But that's the story we're talking about today. And yes, to answer yesterday's poll question, this is clearly the most overanalyzed sporting event, and it is a sporting event, very much so, and people look forward to it, and I've used the Christmas music analogy that I'm blatantly ripping off from somebody else, but it's like the radio station that plays Christmas music beginning Thanksgiving morning and goes 24/7 Christmas music. Some people hate it, some people love it, but everybody sort of understands, yeah, it's just something that we do. We live with it. And that's the NFL draft. Love it or leave it, baby. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. We're chatting with Howard Balzer in just a few minutes. But right now, pick up the phone and give Kyle a call at 319-366-1600 because he's got a $30 gift card to La Cantina, Mexican Bar and Grill. He's going to put it in your hands if you are the sixth caller right now to 366-1600. We put a link to their Facebook page on our Facebook page, KGYM Radio. Go ahead and give us a like. You can check out their menu, LaCantina319.com. Great drink specials, great lunch specials. Three locations, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids, and one in the Fountains off Edgewood. We'll let you know who our winner is, and Kyle will also deliver you a big board, your first of the day, when we return after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
As the Cubs open a four-game series at Wrigley Field with the Brewers tonight, one name remains missing from the team's lineup, Chris Bryant. The former NL Most Valuable Player hasn't played since being hit in the head by a pitch Sunday in the team's 9-7 win over Colorado. The only thing the team is saying about Bryant's status at this point is that he remains under evaluation. He's scheduled to meet with team doctors today, according to ESPN 1000 in Chicago. The Cubs enter tonight with an 11-10 record. Milwaukee, meanwhile, leads the division at 16-9. Kyle Hendricks starts the series opener for the Cubs against Chase Anderson. The rest of the rotation for the Milwaukee series sees Yu Darvish face Brent Suter tomorrow, Jose Quintana opposing Junior Guerra Saturday afternoon, and Tyler Chatwood dueling Zach Davies in Sunday's series finale.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse, you know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids, the sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves? That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
I'm fired, aren't I?
Oh, yes.
Now, see, he went through his Twitter account. Richard in Cedar Rapids, the winner tonight of our $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We got one more of those. We're going to give it away coming up on tomorrow's program. But right now, let's send things over to Kyle. He's got your first big board update of the afternoon.
The first round of the NFL draft is tonight, and two Hawkeyes are going to be listening closely for their names to be called. Kirk Ferentz will be with Josh Jackson in the green room, and both he and James Daniels have a chance to be selected. NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah ranked Daniels as the 22nd best player in the draft, and Jackson the 26th, so both are very much in play. The Browns are going to go on the clock at 7. The Iowa baseball team beat Milwaukee yesterday 12-4 in Iowa City. Lorenzo Elon had himself another big day, going 4-for-5 with two RBIs. Tanner Wetterich was 2-for-4 with 2 RBI, and Tyler Cropley was 2-for-5 with 1 RBI. The Hawkeyes will now turn their attention to a huge weekend series hosting Michigan. The Wolverines bring with them a 20-game win streak, the second longest streak in the nation. The softball episode of the Cy-Hawk series was played in Ames yesterday, with the Cyclones claiming the victory 4-2. Iowa still leads the overall Cy-Hawk series 13-12, with only 2 points left to be awarded for academics in May. The Colonels fell to the Burlington Bees here in Cedar Rapids last night, 7-2. Starter Tyler Watson gave up 3 runs in under 4 innings of work and took the loss, but the Colonels could still force a series split in the finale tonight. Bailey Ober joined the team from extended spring training just today, and he'll get the start beginning at 6:35. We're off the air an hour early tonight. We'll cut out at 6 o'clock and hand things over to NFL draft coverage from Jerry World in Arlington on all 3 KGYM frequencies. Again, 2 Hawkeyes are in play, and the festivities begin at 7 o'clock.
You and I made a pretty big announcement today. David Harris, the athletic director up there, giving a 3-year contract extension to Doug Schwab, leading the UNI wrestling program, the former Hawkeye. So he's now under contract through the end of 2024, and certainly deservedly so, at least in my book, as far as what he's been able to do with the Panthers. You never know who you're going to run into at Veterans Memorial Stadium. As I mentioned last night, I was at the game, and we've talked about Torrey Hunter being in town with the Twins, visiting the Colonels. But in the visiting dugout with Burlington, they had 4 or 5 Angels employees, including former Detroit Tigers manager Brad Ausmus. Interesting tie there, because Ausmus was fired by the Tigers and replaced by Ron Gardenhier, whose son Toby is the manager for the Colonels. So, it was a beautiful night at the ballpark. Got to watch a little bit of baseball and even buried the hatchet with Torrey Hunter. I'm going to remove him from the list of...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's now...
If you say so.
He's now stricken from the record of enemies of the show. See, we have friends of the show and we have enemies of the show. Like Richard Nixon. I'm keeping a list. I'm building a list. Howard Balzer certainly falls into the category of friends of the show, the longtime draft analyst, based out of the St. Louis area, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the scuttlebutt that Baker Mayfield could be the number one pick tonight.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
At Hawkeye Title and Settlement, if we had our way, every house, every store, pretty much every building would be painted black and gold. But alas, ours is not a perfect world. Hi, this is Steve Anderson, and our Hawkeye-loving staff has accepted that fact. So, no matter what color residential or commercial property you're selling or buying, we're here when you need efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Sorry, black and gold paint sold separately. Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The Cleveland Browns hold the number one overall pick in tonight's first round of the NFL draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports there's a growing feeling around the league that the Browns will take quarterback Baker Mayfield with that pick. ESPN's Diana Rossini reports the Giants may be looking to trade down from the number two pick. Here's Adam Schefter.
There's some ways that the Giants can manipulate this and maybe say to the Jets, hey, you know, you want to come up one spot, give us a third round pick. I know the Jets are giving up a lot to get there. You'll lock in Sam Darnold. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and take him. Maybe try to scare the Jets into trading up for Sam Darnold and getting an extra pick. That's possible.
Adam Schefter on Golic and Wingo. The Jets have the third pick right now, and then the Browns hold the fourth pick. If they do take 1 and 4, the Browns would be the first team since the Redskins in 2000 to make two picks in the top five. Schefter also reports Panthers tight end Greg Olsen will sign a 2-year extension worth at least $8.5 million a year. In the NBA playoffs tonight, one game, it's game 6 for the Celtics and Bucks in Milwaukee.
Being a mom is like 1,000 little jobs all wrapped up into one. This Mother's Day, show her your appreciation with 36 sorbet roses for just $36 from 1-800-Flowers.com. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
Is she asleep?
Yeah, finally.
Great. I picked up our favorite breakfast sandwiches from McDonald's.
Ooh.
Mmm.
Oh.
My turn.
Here's to making your morning routine a little better. Right now, mix and match two select breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, a sausage McMuffin with egg, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit for just $4. Breakfast at McDonald's. Single item at regular price at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Hey, you got a truck for a reason, remember? So get some Firestone tires and go do truck stuff. Like getting off the grid stuff, finding out there's not even a map for that stuff, and there's no such thing as getting lost stuff. When you've got Firestone Destination tires built for maximum wet traction and up to 60,000 miles of truck stuff, you can turn that Sunday drive into an off-road any day joyride. Find your truck tires at FirestoneTire.com. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Napa Know-How.
You can tell a lot about a person just by looking at their lawn. So if you man your own mower, Napa has select lawn and garden batteries for just $21.99 with exchange. That's right, just $21.99 to uphold your good name and show the neighbors what a quality cut really looks like. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, offer expires 4/30/18.
I was never the fastest, never the biggest, never the strongest. But I never let that stop me. I never lost my focus.
NFL Draft. The first round selection is...
Passion moves us forward. It's how you think, it's how we think. Courtyard by Marriott. Official hotel of the NFL.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Never heard of.
I'm not surprised. More people watch the fish tank at Leo's pet store.
A Big Ten athletic director has handed out a contract extension, and surprise, surprise, it's not Iowa's Gary Barta. We'll tell you which Big Ten football coach got a little bit of a pay raise today, even though he's still driving a 2004 Toyota. That on the way, as well as Would Ya, which will kick off hour number two, an abbreviated edition of the program tonight with you on all three frequencies until 6 o'clock. That's when we'll turn things over on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM to ESPN's coverage of the NFL Draft, which takes place in Dallas, Texas tonight. We noted the first time it's ever taken place at an actual NFL stadium. And here now, a guy, we've mentioned this before, at the very first televised NFL draft. It's longtime draft analyst and NFL expert Howard Balzer joining us on the program. And Howard, Baker Mayfield has sort of, I wouldn't necessarily say flown under the radar for the last couple weeks in the discussion of the number one overall pick, but now sources are indicating Cleveland is thinking about taking Baker Mayfield number one overall. A, do you think this comes to fruition? And B, do you think that's a good play for the Browns?
I definitely think it's a good play. And I was somewhat, I don't know if the word glad is the right one to use, but when all this started surfacing today, and it was actually earlier in the week when it came out with a strong report that the Browns were seriously considering him, which they've said all along, if anyone was really paying attention. But everyone gets so many get so hung up on the ratings and this guy is the best and all that. And but when I saw it today, I've been thinking that if I was going to take a quarterback and I was running a team, Baker Mayfield is the guy I would want from this group of quarterbacks. And I think that if he was 6'2 or 6'3, it wouldn't even be a discussion. He would be hands down considered by most everyone the number one quarterback in this draft. And so now as the discussion has turned, and who knows how much of this is real, how much of it is just stuff being put out there, no one really knows. And I just kind of laugh at it, chuckle a little bit, and everyone falls over themselves throughout this whole process saying, oh, this is what's going to happen. Oh, no, and then the next, oh, no, this is what's going to happen. The reality is that nobody knows. I mean, who would have thought last year that the Bears were going to trade up one spot in the first round and take Mitchell Trubisky, and then the Chiefs were going to trade up and take Patrick Mahomes, and then, of course, the Texans trade up and get Deshaun Watson. So you just never know. That's the beauty of the draft, and yet it seems that so many don't realize that and understand it as this whole process unfolds.
Howard, I'm glad you bring this up because you've been around this for a long time. When you hear a rumor or a rumbling or a report come out a week or 2 weeks before the draft or even the day of the draft, do you have to take every single one of them with a grain of salt just based on how intentionally deceptive these teams can be?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, who's to say? Maybe it'll all turn true and the Browns will take Baker Mayfield. But there's been so much rumbling that the Jets are going to take Mayfield that who knows, maybe the Browns put that, maybe it makes, they get that put out there. And so maybe the Jets, they don't have a whole lot of draft picks to trade because they traded a whole bunch of them to move up from 6 to 3 with the Colts, but maybe they can entice the Jets to trade up to number one so they can get Mayfield. And then the Browns would be sitting at number 3. And the worst that could happen is they would get the number 2 quarterback on their own board. So you just never know what the agenda is, what is trying to be achieved here. And a lot of it could just, you know, a lot of it I think is agent talk. No one's ever going to admit that, but a certain amount of it is agent talk. And plus every reporter, you know, all the national guys, everyone wants to be the one, oh, I got the scoop. And so, I mean, the Jets, for example, there's been 3 different stories in the last 2 weeks that, oh, Mayfield's their guy. No, Darnold's their guy. No, it's Josh Rosen. The reality is no one really knows.
How much money did Josh Allen maybe cost himself with those tweets when he was a 13-year-old?
I guess we'll find out when the draft occurs, and we'll see where he ends up taken. And so, you know, I've been looking at some mock drafts today, and there's some mock drafts that still had him, you know, moving, this is before this all came out, you know, being down, you know, between 10 and 15. And so that could still happen. Certainly it could happen. If it does, then so many will say, oh, that has to do with, you know, this whole story and the way it's been handled. But yeah, you know that teams, the one thing teams don't want when they pick a guy is they want to be able to stand up at the podium and hail the guy and say this is going to be the guy that's going to come in and transform our franchise. And you bring him in for his press conference the next day, and he gets up there and talks about how glad he is to be, you know, named the team. Well, with Josh Allen, it's all going to be the discussion about this and all the debate. Okay, yes, he was young. Well, so what? I mean, I think at a certain point in this society, you know, whether it's 13, 14, 15 years old, you pretty much know what's right or wrong and what you should and should not be doing. Whatever it was, whether it was just all the things he says, and I'm sure he's apologetic and all that. Bottom line is, this is going to be the story now. And that's what everybody's going to be talking about when he gets drafted. And so do teams want to bring on that distraction? Do they believe it'll just pass and they'll get over it? That's what the team picking him is going to believe. But will it end up being later than a lot of people think, like you asked? And it very well could be. And every pick that you pass by in this draft is less money. You know, it's lower for two than one, lower for three than two, and all the way down the line. So the one thing is, you'll never know where he might have gone, but you will certainly be able to have a thought in your mind that some other team might have taken him earlier, if not for all this story that has come out the day of the draft.
What about Josh Allen's game in general? Because you look at his size, prototypical size, really good athleticism, an elite-level arm, but he's already been labeled as that project. He didn't have great completion percentage. They talked about how inaccurate he was at times. And can a guy like that, in this day and age of rushing quarterbacks into action, get a fair shake at the top of the first round?
Well, that's the big – you mentioned the magic words, rush a quarterback into action. And I think with all these guys that there's always going to be a certain amount of time that you need. You always hear this, oh, this guy's more ready than the other one. Well, maybe he's a little more ready. But the bottom line is, you're not ready to play as a rookie. We saw that with Peyton Manning when he came in, you know, almost, you know, about 20 years ago, and the interceptions that he threw in his rookie year. You had a pretty good feeling that he had the work ethic and all those things to overcome it, and he was going to be okay. And obviously, he was. That's the biggest question about these guys is not whether they're going to have some problems early, but how will they react to it? How will they respond from that adversity? And quickly, whenever they play, when they get off to a slow start or some bad things start to happen, then the rabble begins that, oh, bad pick. He's a bust. Got time for somebody else. And we know that happens. How will that quarterback handle that? And that's the one unknown about it. And so with Allen, I think the questions about him are certainly legitimate. I don't know that you can coach accuracy. You have to feel as a team, though, that the accuracy was for other reasons other than he doesn't have that innate ability. Because if you don't have that innate ability, then I'm not so sure that it's ever going to come out. And so that's what these teams have to decide. Whichever team that's going to pick him has to believe. Because if you take a guy in the first, if you make the wrong pick, especially of a quarterback in the first round, it can set you back a lot of years.
Talking NFL draft with Howard Balzer tonight. Is there a team that you have in mind that is maybe in a good position to try to trade up into the top 10 of the draft?
Well, that's a real good question, and I think it depends on where you are outside that top 10. And certainly Buffalo is the one that everybody talks about, mainly because they have so many early picks in this draft. They have the two number ones. They have extra picks in the second round. And so they certainly have the ammunition if they feel it's important to trade up. They might sit there and go, hey, you know what? The way these quarter, who knows? Let's say they love Josh Allen, and they're perfectly fine with dealing with the distractions. Well, now you might sit there and go, hey, we might get him at 12. We don't have to trade up. And so, but you don't know who's going to start falling. And that's the big question with this draft. If the quarterbacks do go off the board first, and then let's say someone takes Bradley Chubb before Saquon Barkley, and then teams feel they have more needed at defensive back, and they take Ward or they take Derwin James, and all of a sudden some other guys start going off early, and Barkley is sitting there at 7 or 8 or something like that. Well, that could prompt somebody to trade up. But again, it all depends on how much you're willing to give, and does a team trading down not want the guy that's sitting there? The team that's trading down might want Barkley. They might say, hell, boy, I couldn't believe Barkley's here. We're taking him. So, like I said, I think Buffalo is the team most likely to do that, but a lot of things have to come together right the way the draft evolves in those first few picks before that can happen.
Now, I look at this draft and I see a couple of generational talents at positions that aren't usually as highly valued as others. I look at running back and Saquon Barkley, and I look at guard and Quentin Nelson. Are those two players that you would select with a top five pick despite the fact that running back has been devalued a little bit and guard is not usually a position you see picked in the top five?
Well, I would say, first off, I have never devalued running backs. I've always thought that that whole discussion was overblown. And one of the reasons there weren't running backs taken early in the first draft, and sometimes you didn't even get a first round pick, was because there weren't those special running backs coming into the NFL. Now we've had 3 years in a row where a running back has been taken in the top 10. And the reality is Todd Gurley probably would have been top five if he wasn't coming off an ACL injury. And so there's always value in getting a great running back. And I personally think Saquon Barkley is the surest bet in this entire draft. I would consider taking him number one if I was the Browns, and then take a quarterback at number four, because you're getting a guy that you know is going to come in and help you right off the bat. Nelson, I also believe, is worth a top five pick. And I've never bought into this whole, and I know teams look at it this way, this whole thing about, well, not top five, but you can take him top 10. Well, what's the difference? If you think that this guy's going to play for you for 10 or 15 years and he can solidify the offensive line and you're picking five or four or whatever, and you're not necessarily looking for a quarterback, then take him. I mean, you're not going to get him. You don't have a pick later, so you might as well take him. And so that's the way I feel about it. And a few years ago, the Redskins took Brandon Scherff fifth overall, but they were a little sneaky about it. They announced him as a tackle, and so no one would scream, oh my gosh, you're taking a guard number five, when they had every intention all along of playing him at guard. And that's what they ended up doing, and he's been a real good player for them. Quentin Nelson, I think, potentially is better than Brandon Scherff. That's how good he is. So I think if Denver doesn't want to take a quarterback, and we know quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft, it's just the way it is. I think Scherff to Denver would make a tremendous, and I wouldn't hesitate a second if I was the Broncos to take Brandon Scherff at five.
Well, you mentioned the Broncos, and you mentioned earlier that not hitting on a quarterback in the first round can set you back, and it seems to have set the Denver Broncos back, their inability to find a quarterback. Is John Elway, is this going to be one of the most highly scrutinized drafts of John Elway's tenure, as they have that top five pick, and whichever direction he decides to go, you probably need to hit on it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. When you're taking in that top group, you have to hit on it. There's no question. Now, if you do take a quarterback, you're given a little bit of time to figure out if that quarterback is going to hit. And so you have a little leeway there. But let's remember, I mean, they took Paxton Lynch. They didn't take him that high, of course, but they used a first-round pick on him a couple years ago, and so far, at least, he hasn't worked out, and it seems like they've lost confidence in him, and that's what happened. You end up taking a guy, he doesn't show immediately that he's the answer, and then you start moving on to somebody else, and there's no patience at all with players. And I'm not sitting here saying that I know that he will eventually develop into a quarterback, but he's certainly not going to develop when he hardly plays, and plus he's had some injury issues, which have been a problem. But there's no question, though, like you said, this is a team that isn't accustomed to picking high in the first round. And so when you have that high pick, that has to be a player who comes in. If you don't pick a quarterback, it has to be a guy who's going to come in and help you pretty darn quickly.
Let's get back to the Browns here really quick, because assuming they do take a quarterback, Baker Mayfield, anybody at number one, they do have number four. So if you were Cleveland, do you use number four, or do you look at maybe trading back a few picks?
I think a lot depends on what happens. If they don't take a quarterback, then we'll see what happens with those next two picks. You know, let's say that if the Giants don't take a quarterback, then, and they take Barkley, then there'd only be one more quarterback, potentially with the Jets taking one before the Browns pick. So they take one, whoever it might be, well, somebody's going to be sitting there. It could be Sam Darnold, who so many have said all along is number one pick in the draft. Suppose he's there at number four. Does that then have all these teams clamoring to get up to number four with the Browns? It's going to take a lot to do that. Now, the one thing that this is going to sound crazy is that the Browns don't need extra picks. And so you don't want to trade down too far and take yourself out of one of the truly top players in the draft to pick up extra picks that, while they can help you, certainly, but sometimes you can have too many of them. I know that sounds weird, but it can be the case. And so if you're sitting there at four, then you could have the choice of Bradley Chubb. It could be Quentin Nelson, who we just discussed. It could be one of those defensive backs. So there's a variety of directions they could go there. But if they feel like you get one of those guys, if they don't have to trade down that far, well, then that's the possibility. But who will trade up? I mean, Indianapolis is going to draft a quarterback. You know, Denver is probably figuring, well, we still have a choice of some good ones there. Tampa Bay won't. And so, if it's Buffalo, then as the Browns, you're sitting, well, do I want to go all the way down from four until 12? Now, if Buffalo gives them those two first-round picks, well, maybe you got to consider that and still figure you're going to get two very good players picking at those spots in the first round.
Has Josh Rosen turned teams off enough to be the one that slides down the board in the first round?
He could slide a little bit. And, you know, all the rumblings about his personality and all those things, obviously he's tried to change that narrative. The one thing we don't truly know what a lot of these teams think and are feeling about him. And, you know, some might love him. Some might figure, well, we're not so sure about taking him high. And so that's the question of it. That's what makes the draft so intriguing as it all develops. Because all it takes is, and so much of it is timing in terms of who's picking where at what spot and what that team wanting a quarterback thinks of Josh Rosen. Could be, you know, a bunch of the teams that don't really care for him that much. Well, maybe they like somebody else a little bit better anyway. And so they'll take a different quarterback. But if you're sitting there and he's still there, whatever it is, and you want a quarterback and the other guys have been taken, unless you're just truly convinced that this guy cannot come in and be a leader for your football team, unless you're totally convinced of that, then to me, you take him. And you just hope as he matures and he grows that he's going to develop into that guy for your football team. But, you know, again, nothing is certain in this draft for any position, but certainly there's more put on quarterback than others, and you just have to be really careful about what you do.
Great stuff as always, Howard. We are a couple hours away from finding out whether there is actual smoke to this Baker Mayfield stuff. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, man. Anytime. Take care.
Longtime draft analyst Howard Balzer with us tonight on the precipice of the 2018 NFL Draft. 4:53, we've got about an hour to go before we turn you over to ESPN on all three frequencies. You will hear each pick of the first round, including, very likely, not one but two former Hawkeye football players, Josh Jackson and James Daniels, both hoping to hear their names tonight. Josh Jackson is in attendance along with Kirk Ferentz. He's even got walkout music for the draft. But remember that remember the Big Ten coach story that I referenced. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. When we come back, I'll let you know which Big Ten football coach is a little bit happier today. His bank account is a little bit more full. Back after this.
When I walk in the bank, there's two or three people that say, "Hey, Pat. Hi, Pat. How you doing? Thanks for coming in today." That's what makes a person feel special. Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust has made the commitment to me and the other union trades in town to be that union bank.
Is it the "how can we help you" feeling Pat Loeffler and the members of Carpenters Local 308 get every time they stop by Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust?
They've been there for me every single time that I've asked them. It's a hometown feel. You have a place that you can come in to sit down and talk with somebody on a personal level. That means a lot to my members. I work with Brittany. I work with John Rodriguez. I've worked with numerous people at Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust over the years. You're just not another number to them. You're a face and a name. they know you.
Or is it the cookies?
Oh my goodness. I put them in top, at top of the line. I hit their cookie counter before I leave the bank every time.
Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust. Meet them at peopleyoucanbankon.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show, right here on KGYN.
What the hell we got here? Some kind of public access show or something?
Purdue has given Jeff Brohm a 2-year contract extension tacked on to his original deal. More importantly, he gets a bump in compensation. He'll make $3.8 million this coming season. Also, a $400,000 bump in the pool of salary available for him to pay his assistant coaches, up from $3.5 million to $3.9 million. Now, the interesting thing here, at least from my perspective, Jeff Brohm, in his first year on the job, you may recall his name surfaced for a couple openings, and Purdue fans were very worried they were going to lose him after just one season. If Brohm leaves West Lafayette for a job prior to December 5th of this year, he would owe the school $4.4 million. That, to me, is chump change still. So if you're a Purdue fan, you're probably not sleeping any easier, but it does at least show that the school is making a commitment in trying to keep him at Ross-Ade Stadium. The amount, by the way, for the buyout decreases $1 million a year through December 31st, 2024. Not increases, decreases. So next year, it would only cost $3.5 million if he leaves. A school will pay that if he's good enough, and they almost did last year. Let's send things over to Kyle as we draw hour number one to a close. He's got a big board update.
The first round of the NFL draft is tonight, and two Hawkeyes are going to be listening closely for their names to be called. Kirk Ferentz will be with Josh Jackson in the green room, and both he and James Daniels have a chance to be selected. NFL.com's Daniel Jeremiah ranked Daniels as the 22nd best player in the draft and Jackson the 26th, so both are very much in play. The Browns go on the clock at 7. The Iowa baseball team beat Milwaukee yesterday 12-4 in Iowa City. Lorenzo Elon had himself another big day, going 4-for-5 with 2 RBI. Tanner Wetrich was 2-for-4 with 2 RBI. And Tyler Cropley was 2-for-5 with it and with another RBI. The Hawkeyes will now turn their attention to a huge weekend series hosting Michigan. The Wolverines bring with them a 20-game win streak, the second longest streak in the nation. The softball episode of the Cy-Hawk series was played in Ames yesterday, with the Cyclones claiming the victory 4-2. Iowa still leads the overall series 13-12, with only 2 points left to be awarded for academics in May. The Colonels fell to the Burlington Bees here in Cedar Rapids last night 7-2. Starter Tyler Watson gave up 3 runs in under 4 innings of work and took the loss, but the Colonels could still force a series split in the finale tonight. Bailey Ober joined the team from extended spring training just today, and he'll get the start beginning at 6:35. We're off the air an hour early tonight. We'll cut out at 6 o'clock and hand things over to NFL draft coverage from Jerry World in Arlington on all 3 KGYM frequencies. Again, 2 Hawkeyes are in play, and the festivities begin at 7.
Coe and Cornell going at it tonight in baseball. Game 1 of that series in Mount Vernon, and then they'll play in Cedar Rapids over the weekend. There you go, text line. Hour number 2 on the way after this.